Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I am Dorian Wallace, joined as always by my lovely sister, Raina Starr. You there? Oh, God, I forgot to take you off mute. She's yelling at me. I know she's yelling at me. Hello? Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I always forget they put you on mute. That's so fucking annoying.
Nobody can shut my ass up.
I know, right?
Ha ha, bitches. Oh, wait, let me give a disclaimer. For anybody who's listening to Desperate House Witches for the first time, this is not a G or PG rated show. Gather your ones with sensitive ears and children and get them out of the room. Cursing is about to commence. Fuck! Okay, so happy gobble gobble to everybody. You had a wonderful Thanksgiving filled with friends, family, and lots of good food. I know mine was. I'm still in a food coma, and it's 24 hours later. Whoa. So anyway, give your shout-out.
Yes, I got to give my shout-out, then I'll go into my rant.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, I got a rant, too. We're both going to rant. Go ahead.
Awesome. Jessica, if you're listening, what am I sending you? What am I sending you? That's right, a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess. So,
me first. Let me just do this first.
Go.
And I'm sure that they are both the same fucking rant. Although maybe they're not. I don't know. But
possibly.
I woke up this morning in fear of reading how many deaths occurred because of Black Friday.
Yes.
Somebody posted this morning, Black Friday, it's a place where people try to kill each other for a $5 off coupon when just 24 hours early or 18 hours earlier they were giving thanks for the shit they already had. Unbelievable. Okay, take over.
No, that's okay. You were correct in your assumption because, yeah, one of the places where apparently they didn't even get into the fucking store. They basically injured a police officer who was trying to break up a fight in the parking lot of the town that I grew up in, good old Rialto, California. Yeah.
Great.
I'm not surprised. I'm really not, but it just that kind of behavior, really, to be honest with you, makes me sick. It really makes me sick. I know y'all want to get a good deal. I know, people are strapping their budgets, but I'm telling you, people, they mark this. Okay, they start. That's why they say Christmas in July, because they start marking these prices up right around July and August, and then right before, they're like, oh, 30% off, where you're actually just paying the retail price.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous. And you're killing each other over it. You're dragging your babies out and having them sleep on a fucking sidewalk. They reported on this. There was people out front of, and I'm not going to mention them because I don't like the store anyway, but outside of an electronics store with tents just so they could be first in line. It's like, really? Is stuff that important to you that you want to, like, possibly lose toes or possibly be trampling over each other? You know, and bringing children in to witness this. No, can we, what hope is there for this future generation? They're just, this is not the Hunger Games, people. It's a television that's going to break in, like, 3 months.
Proving that in a capitalist society, there's only one thing that matters. Money. And
pretty much.
Of it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I've got nothing against money. Money is paper. There is nothing against money. It's just people acting stupid to get it. And people hogging it from other people. It's like, you know, just, I will start screaming. I just think it's dumb. Especially in today's day and age when you can order shit online. What is wrong with you?
That is my favorite way to go.
Right?
That is my favorite way to go. I would rather order shit online and support a local business any day. Any
there you
day.
Go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm telling you, I'm going to start a new tradition with my store. Once December hits, that's when I'm going to do my discount. Because December, that's you know, I have no problem with any time after Thanksgiving, putting your Christmas lights up, putting your decorations, getting in the mood. But, no, I'm going to be doing my Christmas sales, my Yule sales, really, in December. You know, and all of December. I'm not going to end it the day of Christmas. I'll do it all December.
There you go.
I'll give you all, like, I'll give you a 15% discount this month or next month.
There you go.
You know,
much more better.
Yeah. I'll post the link. I'll post the discount code if y'all want to put it in. But, yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to come see me because I'm in my house. I don't want y'all here anyway. I love you, but I don't want you up in my house. Go to the website, stay in your pajamas. So yeah, and we missed Thanksgiving this year. Well, we didn't miss it. We spent it at home. It was just the four of us because I was all dressed up. I even got I had a skirt on. I had heels. I was looking good. Had my hair did. Had my makeup on. Even had a piece of jewelry on. And we were getting ready to walk out the door. Little man lost his breakfast in the hallway.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
So it was, so it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we're not bringing this bug to everybody else for Thanksgiving. We're staying home.
Wow.
You know. Yeah, and my husband had actually made the dish. And it turned out really good.
Did it really?
Yes, it did.
I am beyond shocked.
He made whipped bourbon, bacon, and sage, and crispy sage, sweet potatoes.
Mm.
And it was pretty darn good.
Fair play to him. I'm impressed, too. That's pretty fucking stellar, actually.
So now he's in trouble. Now it's going to be like, you know what? I don't feel like making dinner tonight. Why don't you go ahead? Here's all the stuff.
Wow.
I love it.
That's awesome. I am so glad you didn't have to do any extra work. That's perfect.
Especially since we didn't go. But I felt bad for him.
But you ate well, did you not?
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. We actually had, I didn't have anything defrosted. You know, we were going to somebody else's house for turkey and all that, and we didn't have anything defrosted. So it was like, oh, crap. Let's go see if the store is open. And I hate that because I feel bad. I've worked in a grocery store, and I feel bad for anybody who has to work on a holiday. So we appreciate you for you know, last-minute stuff that happens, and we have to come bother you people. Thank you very much. My hat's off to you because we got a very delicious applewood smoked pork loin. that was already prepared and everything. So I just had to make the green beans and keep the sweet potatoes up and make some rolls, and we were good to go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's very cool. I'm so glad for you. It was a cooking nightmare. This was a cooking nightmare. Yeah, my oldest friend in the world is the nonconformist nurse, just by the by. And the nonconformist nurse on Facebook. She's got a great page, very informative, and all that great shit. So anyway, the nonconformist nurse says, let's do something from the old days. I said, okay, what are we doing? She says, let's make potato pancakes instead of mashed potatoes. And, you know, anything containing grease and potato and onion is good shit. I'm just saying.
Oh, hell yeah.
So anyway, my brazen ass says, oh, this is fabulous. I've got a food processor. I'll drag it out of the closet and we'll use this food processor. And I thought, oh, this is great. I've been planning this shit for 2 months, right?
Uh-huh.
So last night, it's time to make these potato pancakes to go along with the Mondo turkey, butternut squash with goat cheese, French bean casserole. We had spinach and mandarin salad. We had, what the fuck else? We had sweet potatoes and something. Oh, yeah, she baked pies. She baked sour cream apple pie, and then she had made, and then she made sweet potato pie. Phenomenal shit. I mean, we have enough food. We had enough food for me to make hash today, hash tomorrow. We're in good shape for 3 days. There's a bunch of us. Anyway, so I'm all excited. I'm going to go get this food processor because I'm hot shit and I have a fucking KitchenAid. So I think I'm the deal, right? Yeah. Guess what? I bring the food processor into the kitchen, I plug it in, and I suddenly realize I am missing all the discs that go in the food processor to shred the potatoes.
Oh, no.
So I drafted the older child who said, well, you're putting me to work, and I'm like, you want to eat, don't you? Get your ass in the kitchen. He's peeling potatoes like a motherfucker. It was amazing. And then he's grating them with a hand grater. So we're like, okay, you know what? All is not lost. At least we don't have to chop the onions. Well, okay, so I put the onions in the food processor, and I'm not paying attention. We had onion soup by the time I was done because all I had was that glaze in the bottom. Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. And, you know, when you make potato pancakes, you're supposed to squeeze the excess water out of them. Otherwise, it's just a gloppy mess. So those poor bitches in the kitchen, I've mixed the onion mixture, the onion soup, into the potatoes, and she's squeezing this shit, and she's squeezing all the fucking onion out because I turned the onion into pulp and water. But they turned out great.
God.
So it was all right.
You poor thing.
End of story. Yeah, I fucked up big time. And I'm like, I could have sworn I had all the blades here. I have no idea where the blades are. I'm sure they're somewhere in this house. I could have sworn they were somewhere in this house. I can't find them to save my life. The truth of the matter is, they are probably still in the country house in the basement, and my dumb ass forgot to bring them, so shame on me. I'll make it up to everybody on the next round, but yeah, we ate ourselves silly. And then, you know, your sister can't really drink alcohol, but she brought this liqueur called Saint Germain, and I had this little shot glass half full, and I drank half of the half full shot glass. And last night I was out, toast, floor. That's where I was. Down, baby was down. So was sitting around last night, and my dumbass, you know, I think everything's fucking comical. So, you know, I'm drinking while I'm cooking, just FYI. Never a good thing to do when you're using sharp blades and other utensils. So I'm looking for my glasses. I take my glasses off. I wear reading glasses. And for when I have to do something that requires a little extra acuity in my sight. I put my glasses down, and I can't find my fucking glasses. I'm like, where the fuck are my glasses?
I'm like, they were on your head, weren't they?
No, they were not on
my
head.
Oh, that's right.
Anybody who has seen my Facebook page knows that I had gently laid them down on top of the stuffing. The next thing I know, there's these two pair of eyes looking back at me from the stuffing. Everybody's like, you have to take a picture of this. So I did. Now, anybody else who's a friend of mine on Facebook saw that subsequent to that, I posted a picture of myself that was not quite, it wasn't actually up to daytime standards, but I have to explain. That picture was taken a week ago, I think, or 2 weeks ago, a week or two ago, and we were going through the pictures in my phone, and my older child says, what's that? And I said, oh, nothing, nothing, nothing. And he's like, no, I want to see that picture. I'm like, I'm your mother. He's like, you're dressed. It's okay. I mean, I was covered, but it was a more suggestive picture. So anyway, they're passing the fucking phone around the room, and they're like, post it on Facebook. We fucking dare you. And I'm, and my children are adults, so the word fuck is okay. So anyway, everybody's goading me. They're like, do it. I dare you, I double dare you, I triple dare you, it's a great picture, put the shit on. And I'm like, I'm either going to get reported or laughed off the page. So I post this fucking picture on my Facebook page. And I have to say thank you to everyone who responded so favorably. I'm very, my old ass appreciates it. That's a 52-year-old woman you're looking at. So thank you, baby, for being so kind.
It was an awesome picture.
Thank you, but I was ready to wake up this morning and either have it already have been removed or, like, humiliated to a point where I knew I had to take that shit down. Because I don't like a check. Don't challenge me to shit. Because if you challenge my happy ass, especially if I've been drinking, which is rare, and I will take up the gauntlet. I do not like, I don't let a challenge go unanswered within reason. Now, if you're going to ask me to do some stupid shit, I'm just going to laugh at you. But if it's something like stupid like that, I'll probably do it because I like to laugh as much as anybody else. I thought it was pretty fucking funny. So, again, thank you to everybody who was so kind to the old lady. But yeah, so we have a guest tonight. You have to tell me again about this guest.
Well, this, okay. I, you know me, and I know you're not into really the ghosts and the ghosts and the supernatural and all that kind of stuff. I am.
I'm a witch. Of course I'm into the supernatural. I'm just not into ghost hunting.
I'm probably more the freak of nature about it. You know, it's like,
no, you're not.
Oh God, from the time I could walk. But I had watched this gentleman, Carl Johnson, on Ghost Hunters, like the first couple seasons that came out. He and I believe his twin brother are demonologists. So I had run across him and his partner, Dinah Polinzi, and I was like, oh, my God, I know you. I think, oh, yeah. You know, so we had friended each other, and we've been talking, and we've been trying to figure out, you know, time to get him on the show. And I'm hoping that Dinah will be available so that we can speak with her, too, because she has awesome Bigfoot stories.
Cool.
But, yeah, I'm curious to find out all of the little ins and outs of demonology and you know, his experiences and all this. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
She can listen to her giggle. Isn't she the cutest? I swear.
I do. I get giddy, like, with the supernatural and stuff. It's like a girl normally with shoes. That's how I get with ghosts. Ooh!
You're hilarious.
Yeah, we're going to come on in a few minutes. Did you want to pull a few cards first?
We can, if y'all wanna.
Okay. I tell you what, let's do three tonight.
I don't know how to pull three.
Okay, well, you do five, I'll do three.
I go first.
Three is stuck in my head for some reason.
Oh, all right, I'll go with you. We'll do three. Are you ready? I'm ready.
Yeah. No, you watch. She's going to pull two more after she pulls those.
No, I promise you. No. I said I would pull three. I pulled three. I'm a good girl. I want credit.
You are. And you're
funny.
I'm
a good girl. I'm very fucking funny. Okay, I'm going.
Okay. You go ahead and do yours. I'm going to pull mine.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that. Hang on. Oh. Okay. Person. This is a male. This is somebody that we know.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Good news from a close friend. Opportunity for passionate romance.
Ooh.
And a letter brings bad news. And it's not bad news as in bad news, bad news. It's bad news as in disappointing news. Okay, that's from my ex-husband. There you go. Done. Ta-da!
Ta-da! You know what's
Ta-da!
Funny?
What?
My second card is the same as your second card.
Are you reading my ex-husband too?
No.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, this is weird. I don't know who this is for.
Okay.
So this is not meant for me to see who it is, but you know, this might even be two people. That might be why. Because I'm getting both male and female energy.
Okay.
It will hit them. They'll know who it's for.
Please bear in mind that could also be a transgender person.
No, this is both male and female. This is two separate people.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, no, generally there's a different feeling for me when it's transgender. You know, it's,
uh-huh.
It's a warmer feeling. This is separate.
Okay, read the cards.
Okay. First card, marriage of an ex-love will annoy and aggravate. I don't feel, okay, yeah, one of these, that's actually, yeah, that's your ex, partially. Marriage of an ex-love will annoy and aggravate, and it's not necessarily marriage of a person. This is marriage of a way of life. You are committing yourself to who you actually are. And kind of saying, you know what? I fucking had it with your attitude about my lifestyle. Fuck you. Go away. Bye-bye. Second card, obviously. Opportunity for passionate romance, and I'm not going to go into that.
No, you're not.
That's what it is. This is for the female motion.
Gotcha.
And it's not something you've been seeking. And you've actually been trying to, like, be the student at the back of the room trying to hide. Yeah, you can't hide from this. And you will be getting a promotion whether you like it or not. But the good news is you will like it once you are in the position. But you are going to freak the hell out. So, you know, carry a brown bag with you or Valium and better. So that is my reading.
That's hilarious.
That is hilarious. I think that's funny that we got the same middle card. Yeah. Like, bow chicka wow wow.
Chicka wow wow, bow chicka bow wow. Yes. All right. What's next?
I'm gonna call Carl in. If you are ready.
I'm ready.
We will go ahead and call him and chat with him because he's a super nice guy. And we're gonna find out. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm one of those people that I slow down in my speech, or I will tell you to hold on while I'm doing stuff.
And she has done this. She has. Yeah, I keep reminding her. You know, we're on the radio, and there are people actually fucking listening. And if you tell them to hold on, they're gonna look at the radio and think, "What am I holding on to?" But okay.
Yeah, hold on the ads, ladies.
Hilarious.
All right, I am taking it over. Yeah, I'm just gonna walk you through everything I'm doing.
Just walk.
I'm not
gonna
keep the phone number. I'm walking here.
Walk me through.
Walk with me. Talk with me.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingies.
Uh-oh.
Ow.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Are you laughing already so I can guess who this is? What is going on?
Hey,
no,
Carl, this is Raina.
Hello.
Are
you started
okay?
I'm okay. I just came in. I just had to make a quick run to the grocery store, and I just got in. That's why I'm out of breath, and then I heard the phone ring.
Okay.
But I'm here now.
Well, welcome to the show. We
Hello
are glad
there.
You're okay.
Yes,
we
am
are
I?
Glad,
I'm not on the. I'm not on the air yet, am I?
Yes, you
are.
Yeah,
baby. Yeah,
oh,
you are.
Heaven's sake! No, that's good. That's okay. I'm ready. I'm ready
okay.
now.
Yeah. I told you, we're loosey-goosey, so this is fine. This is par for the course for our show.
Okay. Expect the unexpected.
What did you buy at the grocery store? I have to know.
I have, let's see, cortisone ointment for dry skin. I have motion sickness tablets, which can help me sleep. I got deodorant. Just some of the basics, nothing fun.
Oh, awesome.
That's all
so
right. Everything
I got what was on the list. You see, I had my two nephews and little niece today, so I didn't have time to do regular shopping.
I had
them. The nephews are 10 years old and 4 years old, and the niece is 6 years old. And the one who's usually the best behaved, Sophia, was the worst of them. She's the 6-year-old. Oh, I took her to Panera Bread where my sister works, and I took the three of them. And Sophia thought it was going to be fun once we sat down and I got them their hot chocolates and their goodies. She thought it would be fun to keep going up to the napkin dispenser and getting a handful of napkins, then sitting down, then tossing them up in the air. No other children were doing this. She was the only child in there who was playing with napkins and laying on the floor and putting her hair in her face and laughing hysterically and all that. She'd be good for this show tonight. I should have had a call in. Yeah, but she was she was nutty today. So, of course, I neglected my real errands because of them. And I brought them to the Dollar Tree. They were very good in the Dollar Tree, I will say. Believe it or not, the best behaved was the 4-year-old. He was as good as gold, little Sebastian.
Sebastian.
Yeah. Oh, do I hear Dina's voice? Dina.
No, I haven't called her in yet.
Oh, I thought you were channeling her or something. You know, it sounded just like Dina. Yes, Sebastian, Sean, Sophia, and Sebastian, the siblings.
Aw.
Yeah, they were not easy. Well, up until Panera Bread, they were okay. That's because they ride all over me.
I tell you, between like 5 and 7. Well, actually, the end of 7 to, like, 8, they just go nutty. It's like, yeah. I don't want to hear about the terrible twos. If that's the time period you really got to worry about, because they can be fine 1 minute, and then they turn into rake, you know, and it's like, rah!
And they reach things they're not supposed to be able to reach.
Exactly.
You know, you put things out of their way. And they're experts in getting off childproof calves and things and doing things they're not supposed to do.
Oh, yes. I learned that the hard way. It was probably 2 weeks ago, because I've quit smoking and
good for you.
Thank you. Actually,
more to talk about with Dina. Yeah.
Sis and I, she got me started on the one that I have now, but I have it's vaporizing juice, you know, but it contains nicotine.
Yeah.
And stupid
you
me,
can
I
lessen,
left it
you can
out
lessen
on the
it.
Table.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have.
Do you have the e-cig then, as they call it?
Yeah.
That
got,
steam comes
oh,
out
God,
of it. That's what.
Big boy batteries.
Yeah, that's what Dina and Chris have now. Dina and Chris are members of Beyond the Veil Paranormal Research. Dina is the founder, and our team member, graphics expert, and IT specialist is Chris Stepney. And they're both smoking away their steam vapor, you know, their e-cigs. Every once in a while, I find a regular white cigarette in Dina's hand and her fingers, but not too often. Not too often. She's been very good about it. You know, she's doing
it's
better.
It's hard. It is such a hard habit to break. I feel for her. I really do.
Yes, it is. And you know what smokers have told me? They said, look, I've got a lot of tension in my life. You know, when things are easier, I'll quit. It's like, well, guess what? It doesn't always get easier. In fact, I've never heard of it getting easier.
Me neither.
No. Well, actually, that's not true.
Gets harder.
It has its ups and downs. Could you hold 1 minute while I take off my jacket and put my car keys down and maybe drop the phone again like I did? I'll be right with you, dear.
Sure.
Be right back.
Okay. I've never had a guest do that. That's hilarious. I love him. He's a riot.
That's awesome. So now I know who to call if I need a babysitter.
I'll drop the
kids off of Carl.
I think Carl might have something to say.
Hello.
About that.
Hello. I just put you on too. I'm getting caught.
Yeah, we were just talking about. I'm going to come up and I'm going to drop the kids off for babysitting. Now that I need to do that.
Yes, I do. I have to. I'm even putting away my little groceries that I got while I'm speaking to you.
Awesome.
It's easy to do. As long as I have one hand to do it, I can manage that.
He is multi-talented and multifunctional.
Yes.
I love that.
And multi-digited.
So I've got to ask.
Yes, please do.
Why I'm not married?
No. What did you want to ask me?
There you go. Now, see, that's one. I'll take the dinosaur. But what got you into demonology?
Well, it kind of found me, actually. I mean, I've always been interested in paranormal research, things arcane and unusual. And, I wanted to become a paranormal investigator, ghost hunter, back in the day when I was a teenager. And I saw Ed and Lorraine Warren. You've heard of the Warrens.
Yeah.
Ed passed away 6 years ago. Lorraine is still active in the lecture circuit. And there was a lecture at Rhode Island College that I heard about, and it was featuring the ghost hunting couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren. And I went to see them, along with my twin brother Keith. And then I thought, that is what I want to be when I grow up, or at least I want to do this. And that evening, I was invited by a group based at Rhode Island College in Providence, Rhode Island, to join their paranormal research team. The name of the group was PIRO, Parapsychology Investigation and Research Organization. And it turned out our first residential case, the first investigation where we actually intervened to assist a family, was a demonic case. And that was the case of the Perrins, which 40 years later became the topic of the movie The Conjuring. We were the first investigative team there to investigate the Perrins household. You see, this was before internet usage was popular, computers were just beginning to be, you know, like home used. And my brother offered to place an ad in a local periodical, my brother Keith, letting people know about our group, our research team. And 3 weeks to the day later, somebody responded, and it was Miss Carolyn Perrin. She explained some of the activity in her home. She explained how they had four daughters, and her and her husband were determined not to be driven out of their home in Harrisville, Rhode Island. Hmm. Well, we went to see them, and it was everything that Carolyn had described, to be sure. And after we were involved with them a month, we decided to call in the assistance of Ed and Lorraine Warren, with whom we were acquainted. And that became the Conjuring movie. You know, of course, we were not included in it. I can remember that conversation. I was on the telephone with Ed Warren, and it was August 1973. And I was telling Ed that we have a case file and he might be interested in. He said, oh, absolutely. And I said to Ed, now I presume we're going to, since we brought you into this case, we're going to continue to work on this case with you. And he said, oh, indeed, and we certainly will. Well, it didn't turn out that way. You know, our involvement was eclipsed shortly after that. The Warrens wanted to handle that case by themselves, although we were doing a lot of good for the family at the time. We had established a rapport with them. I remember there was a time in September 1973 where Carolyn Perrin called me anywhere from 3 to 6 times each day, telling me about the new bruises and scratches she had woken up with, and then her husband was experiencing that. And I would hear banging, and it sounded like people moving furniture around while I was speaking with her, and that was just the noises in the house they would hear day and night. Wow. And when we first went over to visit Carolyn and Roger Perrin and their daughters, I remember we were seated around. As soon as we pulled up onto their driveway at the farmhouse in Harrisville, all of our team members knew something was up. We could kind of that spider sense tingling. My brother and I have since known that's a sign of where a house has demonic oppression and a demonic presence in it. Just felt ill at ease, felt being watched. And we were seated around in their parlor talking with Roger and Carolyn and the girls, and the girls really took to my brother. They led him all over the house and out to the barn. And I heard shuffling around upstairs, and I asked Carolyn and Roger, who's upstairs? Well, Roger wasn't there at the time, but I asked Carolyn and the girls, who's upstairs? And they said, oh, we just hear that all day and night, you know, at any random time. So I kind of eased out of the room and went upstairs, up the stairwell, and I was looking at the girls' bedrooms and the corridor, and out of the corner of my peripheral vision of my right eye, my peripheral vision caught something dark coming down the hallway. So reflexively, I turned to my right, and there was this black, wasn't even a form, like this black cloud coming, rolling down the hallway at me. My first thought was that there was a fire in the house, and I was waiting to smell smoke. Well, this black cloud engulfed me, and when I closed my eyes, opened my eyes, then it was gone. I remember that my brother came upstairs, and, you know, I was invited to see where the girls' bedrooms were, and there was one bedroom window, and I remember Roger was there at that time, the father, and he was telling us that window won't shut, and it was cold in that room. Now, this was August, you know, like later August 1973. It was very warm outside, hot outside, but that it was like an icebox in that room, but the window was half open. I tried to shut it, couldn't shut it. Well, my brother offered to say a prayer. He said, Our Father, and read some scripture, and suddenly the window slammed shut. Bang! We could hear the glass in it rattling, and we heard a slapping sound, and one of the four daughters, I don't remember which one, I don't think it was Andrea, but one of them was, suddenly we heard the slap, and she had finger marks on her face. She was slapped. Oh. So those things, a lot of what you see portrayed in that movie, The Conjuring, was accurate. Now, I presume you've seen the movie.
Actually have not.
All right, I won't give anything away. I won't give it away. I would recommend it. I was talked into going. My brother wanted us to go. He actually did. His show is called Ghost or Near. He has a cable access show. It's quite popular. And
cool.
He had me on as a guest, and Donna, who was the original case manager of Pyro. And we all went to see the Conjuring movie together this past this past summer. Now, I was not prepared to like it. Yeah, we saw it in June. I was not prepared to like that movie because I figured they're going to misrepresent everything and it's not going to be accurate. Well, of course, there was some dramatization, and we were totally excluded from it, our involvement. I can honestly say if it weren't for our original involvement, that movie never would have been made, and the Warrens never would have met the Perrin family. Hmm. Now, we did some good intervening in that family in that two-month period. But I thoroughly enjoyed the film. It was very good character development. Some of it was quite accurate. It was like watching Ed and Lorraine again. It actually made me nostalgic. The exterior of the house looked different, but inside it was just like being back there. They had that so faithfully recreated. And those more horrific things, yeah, they did happen, especially down in the basement. Because that's why we went the first day. We went down in the basement. Oh. You'll see it. I would recommend viewing it.
Yeah, I have to watch it now.
But do it when you're not going to be interrupted and, you know, preferably at night or sometime when you're not going to be bothered, you know, just to make it more effective and scary. But you see, they have such character development in the film that you care about the persons. And, of course, they're people with whom we were personally acquainted, so it was a good treatment. Some of it dramatized, some of it very accurate.
I think that's a shame that they basically, well, they did. They cut you guys out. That's totally
omitted any involvement. Well, I don't think they wanted to portray it as somebody brought them in, you know, another investigating group. They wanted to show it as Warren's being the whole case, and it was just not that way. We were we invited Ed and Lorraine, and we were ensured we were going to work on that case with them. And it wasn't until some weeks afterwards, we hadn't heard from Carolyn and Roger for 3 weeks, and Carolyn called me and told me that, the Warrens said that they can only help them if they're the only investigators. And I have to say, I think the Ed and Lorraine Warren were movie-minded even back then. But some of the movie is quite inaccurate, but it's exciting nonetheless, and some of it's spot on. In fact, one movie reviewer, I read a review of The Conjuring, she said that there was too much attention paid to the clothing, you know, like it was too outlandish, the 70s clothing. And I'm thinking, no, that's really the way we dressed back in the 1970s. All the tight shirts, polyester pants. You know, sideburns, they had to have sideburns. Even some of the girls had sideburns back then. That's just what we looked like, you know. And it was nostalgic for me. And the actress who portrays Lorraine Warren, she did such a splendid job of portraying Lorraine. Lorraine still dresses in that style. Very charming, very, you know, kind of an old-fashioned charm. So I would recommend you see it. And by the way, Jerry and Norma Sutcliffe, who own that house now in Harrisville, Rhode Island, it's calmed down in the ensuing months. But earlier this year, those folks were so harassed. Nightly, every night for the 2 months after the release of The Conjuring, persons were coming onto their property and looking in windows and shining flashlights in their windows. And, you know, they'd always hear cars in the driveway. It was worse than expected, because people wanted to go to the Conjuring house and see the ghost inside, so they're shining flashlights in there. Now, Norma and Jerry Sutcliffe had experienced some paranormal activity, but nothing harmful. They just, if they went traveling, when they came back, they'd find items scattered on the floor and sometimes wraps on the wall, but nothing malicious, nothing harmful. It's like the spirits didn't want them to go away. Huh. And my brother, when we were visiting the Sutcliffes, my brother recorded in there and captured an EVP that said, "It's us." You know, as if to say, you know, we're still here.
Wow.
Well, I should let you ask some questions now, but I just wanted to tell you, asked how I got involved. Well, that was how it had some demonic elements in that situation. And then 3 years later, we were alerted to another case. I was contacted, and then I asked for my brother's assistance. And that was a case in Providence, Rhode Island, in the west end of Providence. We call it the Armory District, and that was a full-blown possession case. So our first two residential cases where we actually intervened to assist a family turned out to have demonic elements. So demonology tended to find me. It wasn't me going after it. And after a time, a few articles were written about my brother and I being identical twin brothers who investigate, you know, paranormal happenings. And they referred to us as demonologists. I said, you know, I'll go with that. Why not? Sounds accurate. So that's how basically I entered into the field of demonology research.
And Donna said hi.
Who said hi?
In the chat room. Dinah.
Dinah. Hi there.
Am I pronouncing her name right? Because she'll smack me if I'm not.
Or
Dina.
Is it Dina?
I'm sorry, Dina.
I figured that was too much to be coincidence. So I don't know if Dina's going to be talking or she's just in the chat room or, you know, she can do whatever she likes. It's nice to hear from Dina.
Yeah, she said she's getting back to writing, but I'm hoping she'll take a break. I don't know what you think,
Dina.
She's
a good writer. You know, some of these questions you ask me, I can't answer them in 20 words. It's like, you know, take 10 words to ask me a question, and I'll answer it in, you know, 5,000 words or more.
We're good with that.
Yeah, we are.
That's okay.
We are totally cool with that.
Makes your job easier, huh?
That's right, damn it. And that is your function on our show, to make my life easy.
Well, and I say honestly, we learn from everybody who comes on. So it's like we don't want to interrupt you guys.
I guess I have a lot to say. I've been at it for more than 3 decades now, so I have some stories to share and some opinions. Yeah, and speaking of Dina, she's working very diligently on her second book, her specialty, although she is a paranormal investigator and is going to be working with me on a case we have planned for tomorrow. It's another intervention. Dina's central area of interest and expertise is Bigfoot research. And, you know, talked to Dina for a few minutes, and you know she's sincere. She's had an experience. She's had a few experiences, actually, and at least 2 sightings, possibly 3. But,
and actually, you know what? Dina, what? I'm just going to call you.
Call that girl. She's interesting,
too. I'm going to call her.
Sometimes she's more interesting than
now.
I am.
Oh, poor Dina.
Poor Dina girl. Pulling her away from
the chat. I'm just called Dina.
Pull her away.
I was sleeping.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Uh-oh.
I'm just kidding.
I've done this to her. She's just kidding. We
oh,
woke
that
her
was
up.
Mean. Oh.
Now it's going to be a really fun show.
Sleeping.
Dina girl, now it's going to be a fun show. There's the
I know,
girl.
And I'm so sorry for calling you Dina. You can smack me if you meet me.
Well, isn't that song, Dina? Yeah, something.
Someone's
in
the kitchen
with
Dina.
Someone's
in the kitchen.
Well, and I watch the neighbors' kids down the street, and every single time they come over here, they watch Alice in Wonderland, and the cat's name is Dina. So I am so sorry. And I've heard
your
name pronounced before. Huh?
Well, there's an H on the end of Dinah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even
without
there's
H
no H on mine.
Becomes Dina.
Yeah, and take the H away.
So you're working on another book, huh?
Yes, I am. And I'm doing a lot more research in this book. I've been to a few places in America. Has many, many sightings of Bigfoot, and I'm really excited about it.
Cool. I know, because I see, you know, because I'm friends with you on Facebook, and I see you guys going on investigations all the time, and it's like, oh, I want to go.
Then let's go. I can take
you.
Fine.
Cool.
You know, I go to haunted places, too. It's not just Bigfoot. I go to you know, it's a little mixture of both.
See, I'm moving in with you guys. I'm
you could help.
It's been so long since I've done any. But tell us about your investigations and what y'all are doing tomorrow, too.
Well, I can say
well,
something
tomorrow
about
is undisclosed.
Yeah, we can't say too much about it at this time. It's
I can say it's demonic in nature.
It is, yes, it is.
Wow.
Demonic in nature, and it's an intervention, of course, not just investigating, but trying to help somebody, trying to determine how much is a psychological disturbance, how much is actually paranormal. There are elements of the paranormal. Strange things have happened there. But we have to find out which came first, you know.
The chicken or the egg.
The chicken or the egg, yes.
There you go.
And then we may perform a procedure, and chances are next time we do the show, we'll be able to talk more about it and say, this is what happened. You should have been there.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
How often do
all
you
we
actually
can say right now is, it. Are you there?
That's okay. We talk
yeah,
every time and having fun doing it. Yeah. You were saying, Dina?
All right.
All you can say now?
Oh, all I can say is an expulsion, or what Carl would like to say is more in getting rid of the demon.
Yes, it's an expulsion, a form of lesser exorcism.
What's the difference?
Well, a formal exorcism.
Oh, there's a difference.
Yes, that would be reading from the Ritualis Romanus, which is a 17th century Catholic text, and that's the one you may have heard from, even from dramatic productions, you know, when
yeah.
the demon is cast out formally with very precise ritual procedure. It is read, and the demon is, you know, requested to give a sign of its presence, and then, you know, it's commanded to leave. An expulsion is not quite so formal, but it is done within the confines of a certain time, and prayers are offered. And we will be using the intervention of clergy. We have an ordained priest.
Yes, we have clergy there. That's what I was going to say. We do have clergy.
Yes. So we will be doing this in cooperation with a priest. And, you know, he is a fully ordained priest who, you know, wears the black suit and white collar. And so it's also a psychological impact. You know, we have to impress upon the agent that we're helping on this person that, you know, we are taking this seriously, and certain elements such as holy water will be used, and
wow.
Prayers offered. And so it's not something like I'm on the edge of my seat about. Like it's a very maybe I shouldn't say grim, but a very, very somber procedure, because it is very.
But Carl.
Yes.
Carl, I mean, you have been through this many times before, and you have seen a child spinning midair.
Yes, I
bouncing
have.
Off the walls. I mean, you
oh,
have
wow.
seen things in this field that a lot of people have never seen. So, I mean, to many people in this field that have never seen this, this is something, you know.
Yes, it never gets old hat, though. It's something I've experienced it somewhat rarely, but more frequently than many people would have. And that's why I take it seriously. That's why we all do. We're taking a very, you know, sober approach to this. But it's as individual as every person we assist. And don't know what's going to happen there. There could be some very disturbing sights there. There could be an emergence of paranormal activity that we don't anticipate. It's kind of the discipline of expecting the unexpected. So
yeah.
We'll see how it goes, and hopefully it will succeed. It may not be all cleared up in one shot, in one intervention, but in one visit. But we'll return if we need to. But we will make some headway. We'll make some difference tomorrow.
Well, the main objective of all this is helping other people and helping this client. He's been going through this for quite some time, since childhood.
Yeah. Well, he's had problems since childhood.
Since childhood.
It kind of came
wow.
to a head 4 years ago, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
He believes he has an attachment, that something has plagued him and, you know, glommed onto him. He went to what's reputed to be a haunted setting, and he's had more pronounced problems ever since then, because he is vulnerable in this way. Some people might not have problems going to that area. I didn't when I went there. But he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was there at the wrong time, at the wrong place, and he was susceptible. He seems totally rational to speak to, though. I mean, he's not, you know.
But a lot of times, Carl, I mean, if we're weak in our soul and our spirit and we're, like, you know, kicked down and kicked down. When you go into a place that has a haunted, you know, a haunted setting or demonic setting, you're vulnerable for an attachment.
Yes.
I think because you're weaker inside and you're weaker emotionally, physically.
Yeah, and sometimes I can feel weaker and I can feel susceptible, and that's why I prepare myself with meditation, with prayer, with a resolve I make beforehand that I'm not going to be deterred from my purpose. And I'm going to go through with it, you know, but I'm not invulnerable to spiritual attack. I just have to know the signs and be prepared for it and put up my shields.
Sometimes I am because of the fact that I'm empathic.
Yes, Dina is very sensitive, empathic. She receives emotions sometimes from and sometimes from the other side.
That's fascinating because I am as well. So it's like I try not to, you know, there's a certain feeling, you know, that you get. It's like I shouldn't go in here. You know, it's almost like a pushing. Like I found my ex-husband, we spent our honeymoon night on the Queen Mary. And I had been on this ship many times as a kid, you know, and I knew there was things in there. I had seen from the corner of my eye. I felt them. But we went down there at night, and, you know, we were going into the engine room, and I felt John. And I was like, I stopped at the stairs, and it literally, I could not move. Because I felt it pushing me, like not physically, but just emotionally pushing me back. You shouldn't be here, standing at the bottom of the stairs.
Right, and that's, you know, a place that's been reputed to have, you know, it's a house for memories, and the ship has many of those memories.
Well, there's also a lot of residual energy there, too. So, I mean, it's in the walls, it's in the floors, it's everywhere.
I can recall when Dina went on the USS Salem. It was May 10th, 2010, and Dina was overwhelmed because she hadn't put up her defenses. She hadn't expected such an onslaught of activity there.
Yeah.
Boy, she was spot on with what she was receiving and, you know, how she interpreted the impressions there. It's like, yeah, that really did happen here, they told us. But Dina had to hibernate for the better part of 2 weeks after that. She wasn't going
well, out. Nobody warned, you know, warned psychics and empaths before you go into a place, I think. You know, especially if it's a public place like the USS Salem, you need to warn empaths or psychics or whatever that the place is haunted. I didn't know anything going on that ship. I was so overwhelmed. I was sick.
Mm. You know what that's like, Dorian?
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, do you have to, like, I don't know. I prepare myself, like, my shield is like a mirror bubble. Yeah, that's how I deal with it. But, I mean, how do you deal with, like, getting out of the situation if you're taken off guard?
Well, that's just it. She wasn't prepared at the time, like you weren't on the Queen Mary. You know, sometimes it just hits you. You don't expect there to be such an onslaught of receptivity. And you know, when you're empathic, sometimes it hits fast before you can put up those psychic and psychological shields. Like you said, Dorian, you have like a mirror. Is it a mirror egg or mirror globe? You said it's a mirror ball.
Yeah.
And not the disco kind, but what you do is you envision a circle around you. I tend to think of something egg-shaped. And it's a mirror reflex, so it reflects away anything negative and it will only absorb what's beneficial. But it can take some minutes of meditation to put that around you, and it's not always there, I don't think. And that's why suddenly you walk into something, it's like hitting a wall. I remember when we were aboard the USS Salem, we were downstairs in the bunks, and we heard this big crash. I mean, us and our guides, we heard bang, and it was... Nobody could account for that. Boy, that was palpable. That was loud. And interesting, Dina, once she went up to deck, she was fine.
Yellow mess hall.
Yeah, the mess
hall. Remember the yellow mess hall. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I was running out of there.
Dina, somebody got somebody there right away. She felt somebody had died of heart failure there. And that's just what had happened. She didn't know that. before. Nobody had told her that. Yeah. Yeah, that's where somebody died of heart failure, yes.
Oh, my
goodness. But she was so interested in the sight that she just kept receiving in it, you know. She had to kind of regroup her forces for many days after that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard once you start. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if you find this scene as well, but like if I'm out in public, sometimes they'll spirits will come up to me because they follow their loved ones around. You know, not all the time, but I've been literally followed around because they wanted to talk to the loved one, but I've also felt at the same time that the person still alive would not be receptive to that.
Yes.
And it's like,
that happens.
And they
follow
around yelling, why won't you tell them? Why won't you tell them? I'm right here. And it's like, I know you're right there.
Because they're
going to
think you're nuts.
Exactly. I can't. I'm sorry. Please leave me alone.
They're going to run away from you going, oh, my God, this woman is nuts. Please take her away from me. She's a nut.
Exactly.
Well, I get it all the time.
Well, not everybody understands that, of course. You know, they think
well,
so.
No, you got to keep your mouth shut, though. I mean, you just can't do what that Long Island medium does. I could never go into freaking grocery store and go, oh, by the way, your brother Mark's on the side of you, and he just wanted you to know that blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I can't do it.
Yeah, like
I won't.
Do that to people. Like, you just can't. You know, cause, yeah, they'll either think you're crazy, they'll, you know, run away, or, you know, you may wind up getting arrested. It's like, I wouldn't chance it. And if I feel the people are not receptive, I don't care. You can follow me around and yell at me, but I'm not doing it. You're going to have to find some other way.
Most people are not receptive when it comes to this stuff. If they come to you, if, you know, the living come to you and say, hey, what do you see and what do you feel and whatever, then you can talk to them. But being in a grocery store, or even I went into the nursing home before my grandma died, and all my friend Chris Stephanie was with me. She's like, Dina, you all right? I'm like, freaking ghosts won't leave me alone. I just want to go see my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm antsy the whole time. She's like, why are you so antsy? I'm like, fucking ghost, don't you leave me alone. And she understood.
And that's got to be intimidating, you know, dealing with something even darker, though. You know, because ghosts really aren't that dark per se, but...
No, but when you got 10 or 15 of them on you in a nursing home when you want to go see your grandmother, it's like, hey... You know?
Yeah.
And you're trying to be really quiet, and your aunt's there, and she's a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm like, it's just not good.
It reminds me of that episode of Ghost Whisperer where Jennifer Love Hewitt, she's getting assaulted. She goes into a hospital, and she's surrounded by spirits, and she goes up to this old man in a, he's in one of those jerseys they give you, and she's like, you know, why don't you just leave me alone? Why don't you talk to somebody else? There must be somebody else you can talk to. And he's just staring at her. She says, you're not dead, are you? He goes, no. Sorry. Walks off. You're not dead, are you? No. It's just a classic moment from that show.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. There's the way she handled it.
But you
she's
feel
like
that.
Talk to somebody else. Yeah. He's just looking at her, and she pauses and goes, you're
I
not dead,
that,
are you?
I do that, though, Carl.
No.
Carl, I do that in hospitals. I do that everywhere I go. I'm like, all right, go talk to somebody else, please. I'm not in the mood right now.
Well, I don't know what that's like. I mean, I do receive impressions, and I, you know, have a sense about me, especially when it comes to the darker elements. But I don't see them like Dina does. I mean, although one time in Dina's apartment when she was in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, she said, quick,
so
take a picture.
Don't tell anybody I live there.
For 5 years. No, but I took a... we were up in her loft, and Dina said, quick, take a picture. So I had my Sanyo camera with me. I snapped a picture. Snapped two pictures, you know, of her guitar and a chair. And one of them was completely normal. The second one was normal. Mm-hmm. I took them one right after the other. The first one had a swirling mist in it. got a print of that picture someplace. Dina said, quick, take a picture. See, so I need something more objective. I didn't see what she was seeing. Although in that apartment, I did see orbs flying around, sometimes a red orb, sometimes a white one. They just looked like flashes.
You know which one was
traveling.
Cool? Was that blue one? The
blue
one.
That was
really
a
awesome.
Blue one. Yeah. Yeah, so that was activity there. But, you know, I don't pick up on these things as frequently or as definitely as Dina does. But when I see a ghost, it pretty much looks solid, usually like a solid person. I think I've had that experience 5 times in my life, but that's something.
See, that,
I see ghosts all the time.
Most of the time, I don't physically see them. It's like, I don't know, I guess getting your picture in your head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Like a movie, like a fast-moving clip.
Yeah.
And then you get the
name,
you get the face, you get what they're wearing.
Exactly.
You girls
exactly.
are talking
and
shop
like,
now.
Yeah. Sorry. But, yeah, it's fascinating. And it's like some – I'm not very clairaudient. The one time it did happen to me, the woman – literally scared the hell out of me, and I knew she was in the house. I knew because she had been around for a while, and that's a story for another time. I'll have to tell you guys.
By
but,
clairaudient, you mean you, that's when you hear the spirit?
Yes,
or hear
yes.
The,
audible voice.
Yeah.
And AVP. Yes, it's only happened once, and it literally made me jump off the couch. I was almost asleep, and. She came down and she whispered in my ear. She's like, "Hello," and I was like, "Oh crap!"
All right, Carl.
I like that Dina term. That's the first time I heard that was Dina came out with AVP, audible voice phenomena. I'm sure others have said it, but the first time I ever heard that applied was Dina said it. Well, you're thinking of that experience
like that.
We had, Dina, when we heard Billy's
voice.
Oh
yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta tell her. All right, Carl and I were sitting on the couch and we were just talking about actually another case, and we were sitting there just for a little while, and I said, "Hey, can you fix this cross? One of my necklaces was all tangled up, and I don't have patience for that, and I wanted to wear it that night." And my friend Billy had just died around 2 weeks to the day, right downstairs from my apartment.
It was to
and
the day,
I
yeah.
was missing him. I was missing him like crazy. He was just a good friend, like a big brother. And I seen him dead on the floor. And he knew I was a paranormal researcher. So he used to make fun of me and everything else when he was alive. And one night, I said, "All right, fix that necklace, please." And we're talking about a case. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting there. It's really quiet. I hear, "D, are you there?"
Uh-uh.
Oh, are you there?
I heard it, too. We looked at
each
other.
He did, too. Yes, he
did.
There's
anything. A man, and it had a strange quality to it. It was like almost like in a vacuum, except if it was a vacuum, you wouldn't hear it.
Like in a can.
In a can, yeah.
Wow. Like an, yeah.
And
I look at him, and he looks at me. It was crazy.
And what did I do? I went to open the door to the top of the stairwell. Nobody was there. Sounded like it was in the room. It was clear as anything. D, are you there?
Wow.
And when I think of that, it reaffirms that, there
and
is
I go, that was an odd, and that's when I came out with the term, that was an audible voice phenomenon. Because we didn't
and I
know
said,
where.
Hey, I like that. AVP.
I like that too. I'm going to have to adopt that.
Yeah, well, the first time I ever heard that was from Dina. It gets around. AVP.
Hey, that's mine. Know. That's my quote.
Okay, I will credit you. Definitely.
Okay, yeah. Now, I'm sure if we
Well, because
were recording...
ghost hunters will use it after that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oops. Well, I had
all my ghost hunter friends, all ghost hunters, and then there'll be a Zach Bagan show, and they'll all use it, which is kind of cool. Use it, but it's my term.
Well, it's like the holy grail of paranormal investigation. I mean, there were so many things I said when I was on the series Ghost Hunter that, were later re-recorded. But I remember saying we were in a case in West Grafton, Massachusetts, and this was 2005, And it was a very good case. Very went into the early morning hours. And I remember Dave, the cameraman, asked me, and it was around 1 in the morning, and Dave, the cameraman, asked me, "Carl, what do you hope to get from this investigation?" And I said, "Well, ideally we'd like to find see a full-bodied apparition. That's rare. Full-bodied apparition is the
Holy Grail." Wouldn't that be the Holy Grail?
Yeah. I said, "A full-bodied apparition is the Holy Grail of paranormal investigation." Dave said, "Oh, well said." Then when you see the episode aired, they had another one of the investigative teams saying, "Well, ideally, we'd like to see a full-bodied apparition. That's rare. A full-bodied apparition is the Holy Grail of paranormal investigation."
Yeah.
That and about 20 others, but I had a good time with the show, and went interesting places and met fascinating people.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't regret my time with TAPS or Ghost Hunters at all. I was a member of TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society, for 8 years, and on the show.
And I was his girlfriend.
And she was my girlfriend. You weren't on that show that you were on. You were on The
No,
Haunted.
No, I was Jason Hawes.
Oh! That's why they quoted my... That's why Grant Wilson said that. Ah, now I know.
It was Grant Wilson.
No. We had a good time. It was a long and happy association. Naturally, of course, within 8 years it had some ups and downs, but it was a good time. Good learning process, too.
All right, I want to hear the girls talk now.
Oh, it's fine.
We love
that
listening.
Show. Yeah, that show was awesome. I was so excited when it came on because I think it came on like right around the same time as Lost, and I had I was running part of my parents' house, so I was living with my parents, and I remember. You know, as soon as that premiered, that was it. That's all I watched. That was the first time I had seen you and your brother. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I love this show. You know, because you can tell.
You know what? It was really good back then.
Well, we were like a family then.
It really was. It really was. I got to say, and he seems like a sweet guy, but Brian annoyed the hell out of me. I don't know how y'all put up with him.
You're
talking about the Brian.
I watched Ghost Hunters once recently.
Yes.
And I could not handle it. No, thank you, click. Food Network, there we go. get into it. You know, I've had
The whole thing about Ghost Hunters is... They're starting to, they're going after what The Haunted did, and they're going after what John Zaffis does now, and it's formatted so differently, mm-hmm. and it seems like they're copying it, which I don't get it, because the old Ghost Hunters was my favorite show in the whole world. I loved it. Now I don't really watch new Ghost Hunters, because they are copying... The Haunted Collector, that they're copying, you know, GAC, they're copying everybody, and I don't like that. The old Ghost Hunters was actually the original, and the original is the best.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, it just seemed very contrived when I watched it recently.
Yeah.
The one time I watched it recently, it was very over the top and very contrived, and I was like, yeah, no. I just couldn't get with it at all, because it didn't feel real.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You can have fun with it. You can play a game. If you ever partake of liquor, you know, just get your favorite brandy or whiskey. Well, just in case. Or wine. I know one of you likes wine.
Well, it's Friday night, and I'm having a beer,
just have some bourbon or some whiskey, and every time one of the investigators says, "What the hell was that?" and they break for commercial, you have to take a shot of whiskey every time. Three times or five times or eight times, you have to have a shot of whiskey every time they say, "What the hell was that?" and break for commercial. So,
well, we'd be kind of drunk by the time.
Yeah, just see, that was six tonight. Oh, man.
I better get another bottle.
Makes it fun. I'm not even denigrating the show. I'm just saying that's been very formulaic from the start, more so as they went on. And, you know, what the hell was that? What the hell was that? What, what the hell was that?
But you know what, Carl, I have to say one thing. The old shows were the best. And,
It was fun.
It really was.
Because you saw a lot of the, interpersonal interaction there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I got to say, there was only one time you ever heard Dude Run, though.
Uh-huh.
That caught on. I caught on, but they could only say that once. That was genuine. Now, a lot of it, of course, is somewhat contrived for the show, just to give it dramatic impact. But I got to tell you, that episode that was filmed at the Eastern State Penitentiary, Pennsylvania.
Wasn't there a bat in there, Carl?
What's that, please?
The bat. Wasn't there a bat that came out? And that's
I don't know if it was that episode, but that scares Steve. The bats do. I think that was in the Tango days.
Oh, yeah, bats and spiders.
Dave Tango, yeah. And Dave Tango and I were on the cusp of each other. I was down to the Eastern State Penitentiary twice and, filming. And I was down there with, Jason Grant, Donna LaCroix, Steve, and all that, and Brian. I got to say, that there was nothing made up about that. That really happened, where Brian runs out. And that was Dave, who I mentioned, the cameraman. And he goes, "Dude, run!" Now, my experience was, I had broken away from the rest of the team with Donna LaCroix, and because the curator had told us that he'd seen a lot of activity in the barn and back in the silo. So I climbed these vertical steps outside of the barn and, went way up to the top and was looking around in there. And when we came back, Donna and I returned to join the group. All of a sudden we see two people run in front of us, like, "Got it, run, run!" And it was Brian and Dave. And that really happened. And, boy, did Brian get chewed out for that. I had to feel bad for him. Well, I mean, you don't lose your cool if you're a trained investigator and other members of the team are relying on you, and you certainly don't do it on national television.
He was in
some trouble for that. But everybody had seen it and edited it out. It was an amusing night, I'll tell you.
Oh, my God.
Well, I do have to say one thing.
What's that?
Can I? Well, when my nephew got killed in a car accident, we contacted Jason Hawes to donate stuff for a raffle at a paranormal conference. It was a Rhode Island paranormal conference.
State Paranormal Conference. First one.
And it was held by Ken DeCosta, and it was a great, great event. And we met up with Jason, and he donated all kinds of autographed T-shirts, and videos and all kinds of things to so I could raffle off for my cousin to get his son a headstone. And I do have to give him kudos for that, because he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to meet me and Carl and Chris to do that. He just really didn't. And
he went above and beyond the call of duty.
He really did.
I don't like to, call on people if I haven't talked to them in months and then ask for a favor. But, we exchange emails every once in a while, and I asked Jason, is there something he could do? Like, all I would like would be an autographed T-shirt from him, just something for us to auction, to include in the auction.
You know what? He went beyond whatever. He just went beyond.
He brought so many things and kept saying, "Do you want anything else? Do you want anything else?" He gave us a whole box set of DVDs of Ghost Hunters, the first two seasons, all autographed, and pile of T-shirts he'd autographed, and he just came through for us, and I appreciated that. It made a big difference.
We sent that check to my cousin to get a headstone for his son, and
yep, that was part of the raffle to donate so he could afford the headstone and help with burial expenses. And Jason came through on that.
I'm really sorry for your loss. It's tough. It's tough when we lose people, and seems like
move on.
Yeah.
Move on, you try to help. And you try to help in any way you can, and that's what we did. I went without heat for 2 months because I was too busy out there in the field and too busy, you know, doing charities and this and that, but to send that check out to my cousin to give for his, you know, from his son's headstone, it meant a lot to me. And it meant a lot to me that Jason Hawes actually did that. He actually, he's not a big stuck-up guy. You know, he has kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's a TV show. And
hello?
Hello?
We're off the air. Hello. No.
Oh, no, we're on the air.
No, I was doing something I don't...
Suddenly quiet.
I was listening for a change, you know, instead of talking. Oh, I can keep talking. I'll start some other line of conversation. That's all right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, let me ask a question if I could help out our hostesses, our gregarious hostesses.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't believe in Bigfoot. Some people do. Why are you so convinced that this is a real living creature? Flesh and blood creature. Can you tell us what got you into this research?
Who?
I know.
You?
I know why.
Yeah, you.
I thought, you know.
Well,
I
don't know if the other girls on the line here, that, you know, they've seen Bigfoot.
Oh, No. I haven't personally. Have you, Raina?
No, I have not.
Well, you girls need to get out in the woods a little more often.
I actually live in the country. I'm out in the woods a lot.
I thought Dorian Arena was going to say, you know, yeah, I was married to him. I know, but nobody picked up on that.
No, we live in North Carolina. We see people who resemble.
You see them in
North Carolina. Oh, many Bigfoot reports out there.
Yeah,
beautiful country in North Carolina.
I love North Carolina. It is beautiful in some spots. It really is.
Oh, it's beautiful. What part do you live?
I live in Catawba County.
Yeah, and I'm over in Charlotte right now, but I used to live in Rutherford County. And I've heard some stuff out there. I used to live near Cowpens, so that place, cool. God, that, you know, if you ever want to come down to North Carolina, we'll go to Cowpens and investigate out there. That place is haunted. And I've heard
North Carolina is beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard some animal callings out there that were nothing like I've ever heard, you know, because it almost sounded like a fox, but not quite.
Huh.
You know, so I'm
maybe
curious.
A coyote?
It might have been, but I grew up in California, so they sound like, you know, they're kind of that, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, the chittering almost, the ow, 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 you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This was like a scream, you know, and it wasn't quite like a fox because they sound human. This was like a low growling with a scream underneath it. It was weird.
Huh.
Now, have you ever heard a lot of Bigfoot sightings out there?
I've heard what I think was a Bigfoot because I can't explain it. And we were on a...
You didn't hear its vocalizations, though, Carl.
I didn't hear its vocalizations. I heard its footfalls, yes. And we had tried... I and a couple of team members were out where Dina had a sighting, actually, and she'll tell you something about that, I'm sure. And we were out. It was around 10 p.m., and one of our team members tried an experiment in tree knocking, banging a stick or a branch against a tree, hoping for a response. Well, after trying this twice, two sessions of tree knocking, we heard what sounded very much like footfalls, and I've likened it to the sound of an elephant walking on its hind legs, just boom.
Oh, wow.
Boom, and it was reverberating down this path. We stayed there for a few minutes, and we took, you know, pictures and just, you know, illuminated the branches, though, and the trees, but we all knew we were all too ready to get out of there. You know, we didn't run
now,
away.
Now, mind you, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I was cold. I stayed home that night, and I let them go on their own. And when they came back to the apartment, they were as white as ghosts. I laughed so hard. Looking at Carl, he was as white as a ghost. I said, what's the matter? It wasn't a demon, was it? Uh-oh. And then the girl that the other investigator was with, they were all, like, white as well. You might have just heard yourself a Bigfoot.
I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, I grew up in a country setting before that section was all built up, and it was nothing I could liken it to. I mean, it was, wasn't deer, it wasn't anything. The bear wouldn't make that kind of noise at all. It was just a rhythmic pump, and it was approaching. Now, later, when we had an association with the BFRO, we did an episode of Finding Bigfoot. They came to Rhode Island to research Big Rhody. That's my nickname for the, our nickname for the Rhode Island Sasquatch. As far as I'm concerned, as soon as Bigfoot sets foot into Rhode Island boundaries, he becomes Big Rhody. He stays Big Rhody for however long he's here. And later, it was Bobo Fay who told me that's what they do. They stomp to try and assert themselves to get you to run away. Now, if you stand your ground, they're not going to come back to that territory. So we did the right thing in clearing out of there. I mean, after a few minutes.
You did. I wasn't there, so that's kind of funny.
You would have stayed, Dina.
I would have stayed. I would have gave him an apple.
Well, they're not as intimidated by the females. It seems to be a male populace of Bigfoot in Rhode Island, and I think seasonally. Haven't heard reports of a female in the Rhode Island borders.
I haven't seen one yet. I've only seen two males in Rhode Island.
Dina has.
But you know what? It really doesn't matter if it's male or female. It's just they are here. They are around. I'm not going to tell you exactly because I leave all of my places undisclosed, of course.
I follow her direction, and I don't say just where.
Now, I've got a question. How do you tell the difference between the males and the females? I mean, aside from, obvious features,
the obvious features is...
Esteban Sarmiento asked her that, too, Dr. Esteban Sarmiento.
Oh, my God, in front of, like, over 1,000 people at the Bigfoot conference.
He kept asking her. Yeah.
My first lecture at a conference, and Dr. Esteban Sarmiento goes, well, how did you know it was a male?
Yeah, he said, because I could see, but how did you know? How did you know? She said, I'm going to get you when you're lecturing. Yeah. Well,
I saw that it had, balls. It had balls, man. A penis and balls.
Well, you said genitalia when you were lecturing.
Well, there was children in the lecture.
Yes.
There you go.
Well,
hello. Decorum.
Yeah. And then Dina said, because I was seated in a convertible, I was at that level, and people, they're whistling, Esteban got you.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
Yeah, Esteban's, he's a well-recognized primatologist that you see him on. Monster Quest, and usually when there's a show about that. Although he doesn't claim to be a believer in Bigfoot, he's still questioning it. But he is now, yes. But she could see if she was at that level. She could see that it was still not dark. It was dusk. It was like around sunset, twilight, and she could see that it was had male genitalia, and was just standing there looking at her. And this was no small specimen. By the way, we don't think they're all 8 feet tall because they have
Well, Carl, did you come out of your mother's womb at 5'8"?
Well, actually, my mother had 14 pounds of baby to deliver because it was my brother and me. I was just under 8 pounds. Yeah, pretty big for a twin.
That's a lot of baby.
Yeah, but these things will mature. Like when we did that episode of Finding Bigfoot, Dina actually captured a film.
Remember when Renee said, it could have been a little kid in a hoodie.
Yeah, Matt Moneymaker.
It can't be a Bigfoot because, it's not 8 or 9 feet tall. And I'm like, they didn't put this in the show. They didn't say, I said, not all babies are born 8 and 9 feet tall. Wouldn't that hurt? Yeah. Oh, you know, they didn't put that in.
It'd have to come out very long and thin.
Not even.
Fold it up like origami.
Yeah, but there's
you couldn't even curl that up into a tapeworm. I mean, really.
Yeah, but you know, we think Dina filmed The Juvenile. It's a fascinating film. It's still disputed, but it's fascinating to watch. Dina and Chris were in South County in Exeter, Rhode Island. You can even hear that on the television show. And they were filming what we call B-roll. They're just taking because it's known to be something of a haunted area. So they were driving along a dirt road, and Chris was driving, Dina was filming, and it wasn't until they reviewed their footage that they saw this figure loping out from behind concealment of a tree. And it really does look like something with kind of a pinhead and, you know, this loping figure. You can see it in stride.
They don't have a pinhead.
Well, he looked like he had kind of a crest on the top of its head. I called
whatever,
it a pinhead.
Whatever, it's his hair.
Well, maybe pinhead is unkind. But it looked like that, and one of the investigators thought it was, you know, maybe a child in a hoodie, but no, you would see if it was a kid. They wouldn't be, you know, hiding like that and coming in. Then it took this long stride. If you look at the film, you can, I'm sure you'll agree it's not a child, but, you know, but it was would have been a brown between 5 and 6 feet tall, and James Fay, Bobo Fay, he's 6'6", so he reenacted coming out from behind that tree. And he would have been a little taller than the figure that was filmed. But, you know, that's inconclusive because, you know, so what if it was 3 feet tall? So what if it was 4 or 5 feet tall? It's about five.
Well,
something.
I think they're born small, just like we are, and we grow big. Hello, you know?
Yeah, probably born hairy. But Dina had her first encounter. She saw that thing. It was about 7 or 8 feet away. As tall as it was, that's how far it was away. Because Dina showed me. With a stick, she pointed it to the tree. And at this time, Dina had no...
Yeah, it was eight and a half, nine feet. It was huge.
Dina had barrel no ambitions chest. About getting on television for this because she
no,
was...
No, Carl did that. Thanks, Carl. I really didn't want to do that show. I really didn't want to do that show.
Yeah, I contacted them and got them out here. I did. But it was good exposure. You both, you and Chris look very nice on television.
Yeah, whatever.
Two little cowgirls. Yeah, and...
Where can we see the footage? Is it available online or?
Tell them,
it's
Dina.
It's available. It's on our website. Tell them, Carl.
Okay.
If you go to the Big Roadie, and there are two websites you can view this on, Bigfoot Seekers.
www.beyondtheveilparanormalresearch.org or .com.
Yeah, actually, okay. The way you get our handle, you leave out the research for our handle. It is www.beyondtheveilparanormal.com. You spell it all out, all contiguous. The name of our team is Beyond the Veil Paranormal Research. But you go to you know, beyondtheveilparanormal.com.
He's
and,
making it complicated.
Or bigroadie.com. It's R-H-O-D-E-Y, the way I spell it. I'm trying to make it like Rhode Island. See, a popular nickname for Rhode Island, is one of them is the Ocean State, and another moniker for Rhode Island is Little
or,
Roadie. Little, yeah, I call it Little Roadie.
Or www.bigfootseekers.com.
So there's a few sources you can see that film at.
Okay.
And that's my all-female group.
Bigfoot Seekers is all female. Dina feels there are some advantages to field research using all female teams because they're not so intimidating to the male species because they don't quite trust us humans for good reason.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes Dina has gone out and conducted field research with her and Chris and Aries and, you know, female team members. Because once the males get our scent, they're probably not going to come too close if they're a male, because even though they're stronger than us and better at concealment, they're still, you know, they know we're an aggressive species and territorial, and they don't want other males around, and they're not as suspicious of females because female humans aren't as threatening to them, and understandably so.
Yeah, right. They don't know us.
Yeah, Bigfoot doesn't want anything to do with me. Well, that's what they think, you know, they figure. They might find a mate in the females. I don't know, you'd date a Bigfoot.
Well,
I mean,
I'm not out to hurt any animals or anything, biological. I love creatures in every way. I hug trees, okay? But I do carry for my own personal protection and the protection of my female team members, not because of Bigfoot. And I want to clarify that because a lot of people say, oh, why do you have a gun, blah, 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 and this and that. It has nothing to do with Bigfoot or anything else in the woods. It has to do with a man coming towards me that wants to hurt or rape one of my female investigators. I'm very protective. When it comes to Bigfoot, I am not afraid of him.
She carries a machete, too. Out in the field.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, clearing brush, too, you know, campsites. No, they camp outside. And, boy, if you look up the Big Roadie page, you see, you know, like a film of their, Bigfoot Seekers, you see a film of her and Chris camping out, and they heard something strange out there. It's actually quite an entertaining film.
Well, it's in my first book.
Yeah. Dina's book is Bigfoot in Rhode Island. Legend Meets Truth, Bigfoot in Rhode Island. And
wow.
Details some of their research.
Awesome.
When you hit the dirt there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to choke on y'all there.
I
decided to inhale my food literally earlier, so it's like every once in a while I'm still coughing. Hi. But yeah, I'm gonna have to pass the because I found the footage, so I'm gonna have to pass that around after I watch it. That's fascinating. I've got one more question because we've only got a few minutes left. And this is a girl question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be quiet. I'll listen.
No.
Yes,
this is not a curious. I'm actually not wanting to make you squeamish because since it's an all-female investigative team, are there any rules as to, like, when it's that time of the month or you're ovulating,
nope.
Do you guys have to take extra precautions or?
Nope.
Okay.
No extra precautions because all women are different and we all ovulate and menstruate at different times of the month. So that would be really, really hard for me to go, all right,
yeah.
are you ovulating the same time I am? Are you bleeding the same time I am? Because we can't go. No, everybody needs to go.
I'm...
That's a good question because Ron Moore had asked me, and he pulled me aside after I was done doing my lecture in 2011 in Salt Fork. He goes, do you remember if you were having your menses? I said, Ron, I have it every month. It's an every month occurrence. So I have no clue. He goes, I just had to wonder. I said, I can't remember if I was having my menses back then.
I know it's a strange question. I wasn't sure. Like,
it is not
very
a strange question.
Very legitimate
it
question,
is not.
I think.
It's a very legitimate question. Oh, my God. It really is. And I really don't see Bigfoot as smelling stuff like that and feeling stuff like that. I think they are more human than animal. So it is what it is. We go in the way we are. You know, put your rag on, let's go.
There you go. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, you know, I mean.
And that's a legitimate point that Dean is bringing up, too, a very, you know, poignant point of discussion because she says they're more human than animals. That's the basis of Dina's research. You know, she believes that they are a type of human. I don't know if I want to even say subhuman, but some derivation in the human genus that there's something.
Yeah, they're more human.
Very akin to us.
I don't believe they run around, you know, waiting to see if, you know, say I'm out in the woods and I'm ovulating. No, I really don't think they sense that.
This is going to sound dumb, but, like, you know, you're really not supposed to go in the water, you know, like when in the ocean, you know, because it gives off, like, a scent, like a different scent. Like, females and males get off.
Well, I wouldn't go in the ocean when it's shark infested. No, that's
yeah.
That's something you don't want to do. But no,
yeah,
that's a
exactly.
very legitimate question, and I can understand that fully.
Well, awesome. Okay, good thing I didn't make a fool of myself.
No, you don't understand the questions I get. That's just like the perfect question. I love speaking about that at conferences because I'm like,
awesome.
Really?
No, there's
it's in the middle of the rut. In the middle of the rut in North Country and moose and all that and deer, well, you might want to be a little careful.
Yeah.
Okay. They smell that. And if you have a stallion or a colt and you have your menses, don't go in the barn. Period.
That's good information.
Yes, if an elk is or a deer is in rut, you know, and at the point where they're rubbing the velvet off of their antlers, they're not as discriminating, you know, if they feel if they smell female scent of human female, that will also attract them. Haven't experienced it personally, but I've heard about it. So they come around.
Well, you know what? Maybe if we go camping. Bring in a camper.
No, that ain't gonna help.
No. That's true.
Oh my God! You go pee around the tree; they're gonna smell that.
You did that, didn't
I
you?
I don't think Bigfoot does that, though.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Would Bigfoot?
No, I don't think
want
Bigfoot
to find
does
a
that.
Human. Would he want to find a human mate, a female? Let's say a male Bigfoot. Would he want to, you know, procure himself a human female?
They're human. They're not going to look. They don't go that way.
Even
okay, a deer is different. Moose. You
moose
don't go out there.
Yeah.
That's a big one. You don't want to. No, I'm all set with that.
Chased by a moose, my word. Hey, you know, there was a species of human.
We'll just put all kinds of, like, endorphins on Carl and we'll throw him in the woods and see what happens.
Yeah, I can be your sacrifice. I can be your experiment.
Can you see
I come out with my book.
After him?
My book.
Oh, my God.
Sodomized by Bigfoot, you know.
And it's
not
Bigfoot.
I felt objectified. I was not comfortable with it. No, it's still with me. I won't go out there again.
He's gone.
I'm never going out in the woods with Dina Palazzini ever again.
Frankly, I felt used, you know.
Excuse me.
Well, we kept him away from us, didn't we?
I cannot report this and keep my dignity. I cannot. Well, I'm willing
and
to
let me
share.
Get a picture.
So that...
Do you ever see the picture of the donkey and that guy's running across the field? And...
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yes.
Talk about laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never happened to me. I've had my period in the woods many times, and I've never had anything like that happen to me.
Well, you did see that male specimen of Bigfoot. Did not its genitalia approximate the male physiology somewhat? No, did it look like the, you know what I'm saying here? Come on, give me something to work with.
It was proportionate.
It's so small.
Oh, man.
You are beneath.
Hey, I'm not trying to compete here.
No, you can't.
I don't think I can measure up. I mean, that's all right. I'm cool with it, man. I'm cool with it.
Well, on that note.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not leaving. You're not stopping now, are you? We're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
I
know we are.
I'm sorry. We are definitely going to have you guys back, though.
Yeah, because we're just getting started. I wanted to talk about
subspecies
of humans and all that. Like Homo heidelbergensis used to reach a height of 6'6" or better. Now, and they really lived you know, maybe this is, a, you know, related to them. I wanted to get into all that, but then we started.
Well, we have a donkey coming to your house tonight, and he's all that.
Then we got into animal husbandry, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
I've lost Carl. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Then started the Donkey Kong me, and I lost track of what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wow.
But that brings Donkey us into Kong. Part two when we come back to your show.
That's right.
Which very much like to.
Well,
yes,
that would be great. We would like that, too. You guys are a riot.
Well, you knew we would be. You're a fun girl, too.
I'll take Carl out into Moose Country, and we'll see what happens. We're going to put some pheromones on them and have them run.
Then film it.
Hilarious.
Make sure you film it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You guys are funny.
Yeah. I hope I would survive the experience because you couldn't compose a serious
eulogy. Oh, you would not survive.
We'll channel you. We'll channel you. We'll do like a Ouija board session, you know, and
nice.
That'd
be perfect.
Yes, that way.
Spelled out moose me. The planchette went to moose me.
I'll be sitting in the tree stand going dinner.
As you can guess, it is a lot of fun to go on a Bigfoot expedition with Dina. Even though she can be all business, she's still Dina.
I am all business.
She is when she's researching.
When it comes to
Bigfooting. She is.
No, don't mess with me when I'm out in the woods. I'm all business.
But she's got weapons. I definitely would not mess with you
in the woods. No, that's just for protection from, like, other people. Oh, my God. You know what happened one time? I was out there with Chris Stepney and two other girls, and we were in Rhode Island, and these people were walking their dogs off leash, and there were like 12 of them. So it was a pack of dogs. They all came running up.
Oh, no.
And were trying to bite us, and I had nothing
on
me. Yeah. So they're like, don't move. I said,
not...
hello, I'm on private. I'm in state forest. Your dog should be on a freaking leash. So after that, I was like, no, I'm done. Dog come up, try to bite me. It's getting its head blown off. Sorry. I'm not going to get threatened by anything.
I'm
not going to have any girls get threatened.
Yeah.
They'd be more worried about bear because they're really out there.
No, you know what? The bears followed me and Chris that one day. And it was nothing. I took pictures of their poop. It was fresh and... they were in the tree, and they were following on the right side. I'm not worried about the bear at all. Unless
bears
I come
intimidate
in between the cubs and the mama.
Yeah. No, they're not usually aggressive, at least not the species around here, usually.
Well, you don't come in between the mother, you know, the sow and her cubs. You just don't do it. You make noise when you know there's a bear around, and they're going to go the other way.
Usually works, I've heard.
That's good to know. Hey, me, I'll watch the bears on TV. I'm scared.
No.
Thank you guys so much for coming on.
It's been our pleasure.
We enjoyed this.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
And
you guys are amazing.
And please come back on and tell us how the exorcism went
and hopefully you'll invite us back in December or January. Let's not make it too long.
Oh, absolutely.
They probably won't.
Before we return. Yeah.
Dun dun dun. Not kidding. Of course you will. But thank you so much. And we will talk to y'all next time.
Yes.
Yeah, in the meantime, we'll keep in touch. I'll be chatting with you on Facebook and, you know.
Absolutely.
Change emails and all.
Sounds good.
I know, you got my number now, so, hey.
That's right, I can call the host.
There you
go. Yeah. Well, thank you, too, Dina, for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, absolutely.
Chatting with you.
Well, have a blast, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. God bless. Talk to you soon. Good night now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night. Oh, my God, they are a riot. That was awesome.
That was so cool. Oh, my. She's a trip. He's fantastic. They are hilarious. And, I mean, what they do is serious, but I love people with a sense of humor. That was great.
Yeah.
Definitely great. All right. Do the blessing. Get us out of here.
All right. We love you guys. We will be back next week with Taliesin Govanen. If we can nail him to the phone, because, yeah, we're going to get him. Anyway, so you guys, I'm glad y'all are safe. I'm glad nobody perished at a Black Friday sale, I hope. No deaths this year, yay.
No, we've had a death. There was a death this Black Friday, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, that's so sad. That's a shame. It really is a shame. Next year, y'all stay home. Don't do that. We love you guys. We want you to come back and, you know, enjoy
this
time.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we love you.
Bye.
Bye.